Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Okay, electrician turned comedian Jason Byrne has toured the world, but always finds his way home. Home is, well, he's from Ballantyre in Dublin. I meant to put that into Google Maps to see where that is, but we'll find out as we go. And he's very big in Finland, but most importantly, he's here and he's live in studio. Welcome, Jason.
How are you?
Finally, delighted to meet you.
I'll be going to see me mum after this. Ballantyre's behind you.
Is it okay?
Literally.
Actually, hang on, I'll put it in here now, yes. Oh, yeah, it's kind of between, it's inside the M50.
Yeah, yeah, so what you say is,
it's like, west.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you do near Dundrum Shopping Centre, and like, it's mad.
Oh, yeah.
The whole, yeah, that's what they do. Everybody goes, oh, yeah, Ballantyre's been there for years. Yeah, like, you know, so yeah. And it's I'm from a place called Ludford Drive. They're all Ludford, 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 Ludford. Thousands of houses. So in Britain, when I gig in Britain and all, they don't really have housing estates like we did.
Ah, they do they not?
No. Well, they have council housing, but they don't have thousands of houses that are exactly the same.
With nothing.
Exactly the same. Like, there's nobody's getting anywhere. Like, so on our road, if anybody got new windows or a new anything, that was like, you know, we got a new chimney. Do you know that? Don't listen to this.
In Ballantyre, or is this?
We got a new chimney.
You don't live in Ballantyre now, do you?
No, in my mum's house, lightning hissed the chimney and blew it up. And
when did this happen?
I was a kid, right? My mum and dad and all were out. I was babysitting. I was about 14, right? Of course, I was babysitting with young sisters. And my mate Carl was across the road, and he had his finger on the Venetian blinds, and he watched the lightning hit my chimney and blow it, and then he got a shock in his fingers, and then it blew up and it went down and it hit the boiler house, and I was by my sisters because it was a really big storm in the '80s, and I was minding my sisters, and there was we were counting the thunder as it was going away, and then there was a big bang at the door. And I had just seen Back to the Future, the movie. And if anybody's a fan of that, they would have seen Michael J. Fox go into a barn, come out with a big, huge thing on him when he goes in Back to the Future, when he goes back in time. He looks like an alien. I seen that shape at the porch banging and going, hello, hello. And I didn't know what I thought. It was only like 14 or so. And it was a fireman. I didn't know the house was hit.
Right.
The fireman came in and he took us all out, wrapped us all in blankets. Who comes home from the pub? Me mum and dad. four fire brigades and all the neighbours staring at me mum and dad going,
I mean, that was the best crack that had happened in Ballantyre, I'd say, for years.
Yeah, it only ever happens in Ballantyre.
Did the chimney have to get replaced?
That's what I'm trying to say. So if you go along the road in Ludford Drive, you look up and you'll see the newest chimney on the whole road.
Even though it's 40 years.
It's still the newest.
Come here. I was looking up, when I look up your name and interviews you've done, it's just like there's a common theme for the past few years. Jason Byrne recalls shock of heart condition diagnosis. Oh my heart lit up like a Christmas tree, says comedian after he had 5 stents implanted following a near attack. Jason Byrne urges people to heed his heart warning. Byrne tells a renewed approach to life after a 6th heart stent.
Yeah, right.
You've just been coming into RTE talking about your heart.
It's
for good. 4
well,
years.
I do find, well, it's whenever I come to RTE, they want to hear about your health. I don't know what it is, RTE, isn't it?
It's just not this show. We were mad for lightning and chimneys. No, you know, we got a spot on.
Well, we were all okay in the end.
I can't even say that yet.
You're
right. You're grand.
Yeah. So I had 5 stents, but I got one put in again just after, maybe 6 months after, for the crack. So that was quite funny.
That's number 6, was it?
Yeah, they do an ad. They do. There's a thing called an invasive angiogram. I love saying stuff like this because I sound like a doctor. People who have had operations, they use all the big words. They only know the big words.
That's
because
all they've been constantly hearing for.
So I've had an invasive angiogram, which I've never heard of in my life, but that's what I had, where they go into your wrist and into your heart. And so it was just after the 5, there was a bit, I just felt a bit weird. Nothing, it was fine. And then he just said, oh, look, I think it might be just a bit of a bend in the artery there where the other stents are. It could have just caused a little bit. He said, it's not a problem. And then he said, I mean, it's mad as a doctor. I love the surgeons and all. And he said, oh, sure, while I'm in here, I might as well put another stent in. So he's gone, ah, yeah, go on.
Like while you're open.
Yeah, it's like you're at the bar. Ah, sure, I'm here, I might as well get you. Do you want another one? So he threw us another one in. No, you're not open, by the way.
I was wondering, I was going to ask you, are they small? They're small incisions, aren't they?
Yeah, so I did, right, so got the... It goes into, it's a top, well, it only goes into your wrist.
And
if you're a bit older, they'll go into your leg. They won't open up your heart fully unless you're doing open heart surgery, obviously.
Right.
And here's me doing the doctor thing again. But here's the mad one.
Don't take Jason Byrne's advice on any of this.
No, don't. I just know what happened to me, right? And so I went, I got a call then from Clonmel. Oh my God, I can't recall the, so the people who make the stents, anyway, are in Clonmel.
Are they?
Yeah, I thought
the
catheter.
The stents in the world, 80% of the stents in the world are made in Ireland. Well, Galway and maybe it's Clonmel as well.
But you're,
I will bow to your greater knowledge.
No, but you're going to have all the knowledge because you're sitting here in front of it all the time. You have a full team. Because right, people at home don't know this. Oliver says something really slowly while his team types it.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the fact is true or false at the end where Oliver goes, and that's what happened. Yes, that's definitely Oliver.
But they've ruined it by putting cameras in studios now. They can see. Oh,
yeah,
I'm just reading the information.
Sorry,
so stents, is it like a straw that bypasses an artery or is it inside the artery? Do you know this detail?
All I know, I know it's a catheter that goes into your wrist, into the artery, but it goes into your heart so fast. That was the fright. Do you know what I mean? They're lying there and he just goes in with the, you know, with his little tube and he just goes, oh, we're in there now. I mean, from your arm to your heart, he just goes like that. It's fast. And then he puts a tiny little stent.
What going, it's, as in the stent stays in the wrist, does it?
Yeah, no, it's got, well, it's got to get in there somehow. No, the stent.
It doesn't shoot to your heart.
No. Yes, it does.
Does it? Okay. This is news to me.
He doesn't send the stent off and goes, best of luck now. And then teach like a dog and goes, go left, go right. No, he moves it all the way in with it like a tube.
Oh, God.
It goes all the way in. And then he puts it into your artery. But the thing goes in first, the balloon opens it, and then the stent follows behind.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it's like corrugated, that's corrugated iron. You know, it opens and closes, like kind of thing, pushes open. Constantina, so I'm trying to think of that word, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Opens up, and then he takes it back out, and that stays open, and it opens your artery.
And you've had that done six of them?
Six of them, but that's nothing.
That was awake during this procedure?
Yeah. I mean, but I was awake because and look, the Irish people and listening to everybody, always ask your doctor everything, right? Because Irish people they're like, oh yeah, I'll be all right, I suppose it'll be grand. Like, do you want any, they call it fizzy juice. And a lot of Irish people will go, no, I'm all right, because they're too embarrassed. I was going, load me up. So they loaded me up with that. But it was only after Oliver, right, that was Steph Professor. Or doctor, I don't know what he, I was okay, anyway, he's brilliant, Niall Mulvihill. And, afterwards, he was just checking me in the bed and all. He goes, how are you? He goes, yeah, grand. And I'd come off the fizzy juice. And I said, oh, my God, that was mad being awake. He says, do I have to be awake? Do I have to be awake for that? Because I never asked him. And he went, nah, I could have put you asleep. I went, what? He goes, yeah, but it means
such time.
He goes, but then we'll have to give you full anaesthetic and all the fuss. He goes, you're fine awake. And you are. You're fine awake because they're just talking away to you.
You don't chat. Do you chat back when they're...
Yeah, you chat back.
Yeah.
He's going, that's going in there now. When the first stent went in, they all gave each other high fives. That was brilliant. They went, wow, look at that. Good stent. They all said good stent. And they were going, and even I was going, yeah, that's a good one. Here, let's do another one.
If they don't say that when the rest of them were going in, do you start to get worried?
No, it's okay. You're fine. No, you don't have to get too worried. It was good. So they all went to, I don't know, an hour. I was in there for an hour, open like into your heart surgery. But it's just, I got a high cholesterol, by the way, in case anybody was wondering. I had it for my mum and dad. Thanks, mum and dad.
So your health was very good and your diet was excellent.
Well, it wasn't excellent, but it wasn't bad. It was just, I make too much cholesterol. So they had to...
How did you know what you needed them to? Were you doing regular blood tests every year?
No, I was just, well, first of all, I went for, I was just going for a run and I had a little pressure on my heart. Not on my heart, but somewhere just at the side.
In the chest, left side of the chest.
Yeah, so you'll feel little bits of pressure. You don't really feel pain. You feel pressure. I think the pain is when it runs down your arm. Because because I went, sorry, just to show about the pain, I went back to my doctor, my heart surgeon, whatever, after. And I said, I can feel where the stents all went in. And he was writing down a bit of paper and he went, oh, that's brilliant. He goes, what, that's a miracle?
That's not possible.
He goes, why? Well, there's no nerve endings in there, Jason. So well done. Congratulations, you're the first human. But to say that, and this is good news for everybody listening, is you should listen to your own body. Because I was, before they put the stents in, Niall said to his team, he said, watch this. He said, Jason, can you point to me where you think the stents need to go? And I was more or less bang on with my fingers, which I shouldn't be able to do.
Oh, really?
Because you don't...
No nerve ending there.
Well, no, but I, you know, that's how much
you should know. Yeah, no, exactly, but that's where your heart.
Yeah, you know, I know where my heart is, but like, oh yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't bang on. They're going, well done, Jason. Left side. No, no. So
did you have to change much about your lifestyle since?
No, no. I just more checkups. So that's a good thing. The doctor, Rory Hanlon, just said, look, now we're going to be able to just keep an eye on it. So that's it.
So you know, best minded heart in the country now at this stage.
Yeah. Well, anybody who has a heart problem, it just gets monitored all the time. Then. Yes. You're fine. See. The best thing to do is, though, and here's the usual, isn't it? Just go and get checked. You're grand. Because here's the one the doctor said to me. If you come early enough, I can change your diet, right? If you come later again, I'm going to put you on pills. If you come later again, you're going to need stents. If you come later again, I'm going to need to open you up.
All right.
So the earlier, the better. Just go in. So I don't know, even if you're in your 30s or whatever, just go on in and check your...
It's a good idea to listen to your body, because when you come into middle age, you just expect twinges and groans. You go, yeah, that's just 40 plus.
Yeah, I know. It's yeah, a doctor...
Ignore that.
Yeah, you can go in and you have like a pain or a problem and they just go, yeah, it's because you're 53. And you go, yeah, but can you fix the thing? No. No, it's just that's where it's
there. No cure for that.
It's gone. It's like it's a certain part of the body which I won't mention fully on air, but people can guess, which is basically used like a pedal bin all your life for 53 years. That and people listening in will know they've got to go to doctors quite a lot for that area.
Needs to be looked after.
Yeah.
When we have a comedian in you, I always look up the YouTube things.
It's very
I always
good.
Click on the most viewed videos, and I threw up some mad things for you.
Yeah,
usually it's in one subject, but for you, there's 60 seconds of you doing nipple twisting, wearing only underwear at the BBC.
That's yeah.
Doing the Irish magic tricks. Of course, people would have seen this with your shows. In Melbourne.
Well, I did the Melbourne Comedy Gala, and I did a stunt once, and then that was it. They just said, because I wanted to do stand up again. They're going, no, can you do the stunt again? Can you do it again? I was going, so every year I had to come up with
magic tricks
and
that go horribly wrong. Or
they were like, yeah, because I was a fan of Tommy Cooper. I could have sold those to Tommy Cooper, which would have been brilliant.
Yes, that's right.
So Tommy Cooper I loved, and I just did silly magic tricks, which were like, but then they were like, you know, I did them a lot on stage to try and work out how to do them really silly. But then got complaints from magicians, which was brilliant, on YouTube. Going, these are disgraceful, these tricks. You're a disgrace to the magic circle. It's going, what? I had a fella in a box twisted to a pair of runners. You know, so so I love doing that.
Loads of Ireland's Got Talent clips, which is the thing I forget. You've done so many things. And then you're on the Graham Norton show with Geoffrey Rush, because obviously you're obsessed with Australians, and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Do you remember that night?
Yeah, I do. Oh, my God. Well, Gwyneth Paltrow was doing a cookbook or something. Okay, I remember the backstage bit, which was bizarre. So the backstage, you stand, obviously, it's behind the set. So where you walk through, just before you see Graham, is just a bit of tat behind you.
There's nothing nice back there.
No, and there's wires and stuff. And Gwyneth Paltrow's on one side of me and Geoffrey Rush is the other side. And Geoffrey, Lady Gaga was on for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Right? And she was going to be doing three songs. It was a famous time. She was wearing like a Lady Madonna type of top that was designed by an Irish designer.
Oh,
that
yes.
Clothes, right?
Okay.
But she, that was when she was in her your kind of odd phase, you know, very surreal. And she like there was she not she's very, very normal now.
Yeah. You know what I mean? She's going back to that, actually.
Oh, is she going back to it again? Yeah. Oh, God, I can't keep up. Anyway, so Geoffrey Rush's one side, Gwyneth Paltrow's just like Jason in the middle. In your head, you go, what am I doing here? And Gwyneth Paltrow looks at the both of us and goes, oh, my God, Lady Gaga's on. Like that, and going, yeah. And she goes, he's never going to talk to us. We're going to have no airtime at all.
That's what she was thinking.
And then we went out and oh, my God, Gwyneth Paltrow had paella under the seats. What? Under the seats where we had
paella
to come out and taste
Spanish.
It.
Oh, so she brought her food with her.
Yeah,
she?
But it was under the seas.
God.
And me and Geoffrey.
Did you have to taste it?
You have to say it's nice. But it was freezing and whatever.
Oh, my God. Cold rice.
We're like, oh, very nice. And Graham was just looking at us laughing because he wasn't tasting it. It's too far away. Good, too far away, was it, Graham? Too far away.
I love the insecurity of the megastar sitting in the wings. It's like, I'm the big star. Oh, wait, no, Gaga's here. That's
I know. And then she was right because Lady Gaga sang like two songs, maybe. Maybe three, I can't remember. So yeah, we got very little airtime. But Geoffrey Rush was lovely to me.
Was he?
Yeah, because he was the ambassador of the arts of Melbourne when I was on that show. And he goes, Jason's great. We love Jason. We love him.
Yes.
You know?
Good to have a supporter.
And, yeah, and he goes, he's just, because he's talking about the magic trick. He watched me do all that stuff. And then name check Tommy Cooper, which was brilliant.
Wow.
But he's a lovely man. And I said to him, are you, because he was supposed to be at the Pirates of the Caribbean premiere that night. I said, you're not supposed to be there now. And he goes, my dear, he says, I've never seen myself on screen. I said, what? I make the movies and I leave. And I said, but what about the premiere? He goes, we don't sit in there. I says, I thought they're all in there with their popcorn. He says, they go down the middle, wave, go out the door and go back and off they go.
They're gone.
Nobody stays.
Never watch the film.
But I think in Cannes they must, but not in London. It's just like,
you would in Cannes, wouldn't you?
You have to, don't you? Because don't they stand up for ages clapping?
They do, yeah. The standing ovations. Or you get abused. They shout and boo at you.
Do they?
Yes.
Yeah, have you been
Cannes
there?
Cannes way. No, I've just read the reports. Just like I read the reports about you. Did you live in Melbourne or something for a while, or did you just want to live there?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm kind of glad I didn't, because like I was 15, 16 years back and forth to Melbourne and Perth, and I know the whole of Australia, like, but mainly Melbourne. But they're not, you know, the Irish go there and they think they're like us, but they're not. They're not like us at all.
Really?
The Irish go there and eventually end up as with other Irish people. They don't drink heavily, like, and they don't socialise like that either. They are outside all the time. They drink smoothies. They run everywhere. They cycle everywhere. They love their rules, which is a big problem for Irish people. They love their rules.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a sophisticated kind of European feeling city, I think, Melbourne. Is it compared to Sydney?
Well, I got in trouble with them. I says, you don't know who yous are, do you? They don't know who they are. Because they think they're American, but then they're not. Then they're Australian. But because they live like Californians because of the sun.
They hated that.
And they say diapers and they call crisps chips. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But only in Melbourne, not in the rest of the...
No, they do, yeah.
Oh, they do.
They do watch all of Australia.
Lots of stuff going on in your life. Your youngest has turned 18.
Oh, yeah, Daniel, yeah. He's just, that's my 6 foot, nearly 6'5".
Yeah, but that takes him after. He's taken after his father.
Well, I'm 6'2", which is unusual for my, because everybody was small in my year in the 80s. Because we were obviously raised at an amazing time when processed food and microwaves were invented, so we didn't get a good diet at all. So everybody was in bits.
The lawyers for your parents would like to indicate that they were responsible at all times.
Oh my God, I've dissed my mum.
Not the reason for his stents at all.
Oh no,
it's
no.
It's his own fault.
Well,
is that why you're spiking your hair up now to try and compete with your 18-year-old giant son?
No, I'm just spiking my hair up to try and hide any kind of thinness in the middle. Because I did Young Offenders, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I did it, and it was a character called Jack Hammer. And my hair, right, because they're so nice, the girls in there, like, they're going, we're going to give you a Mohegan, because the camera has to go around the top a lot. And I went, why? Oh, okay. And they went, yay. And you should maybe keep that kind of style and so shave the side of your head and push it up and in. I was like, oh, is it thin? And they're going, yeah, but it's great. Don't worry, it's great. So we did that. Yeah, we did. And the Young Offenders was great crack. Oh my God.
That was the Christmas one.
Hilary Rose, Alex and Shane, Casey and all. It was just amazing to do.
And because you've dabbled in acting here and there, haven't you?
Yeah.
Memorable. Father Ted.
Oh my God, Father Ted. The wrong line. It's famously the wrong line.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the wrong line.
I didn't know this.
I first of all, I went to Ennistyme and I spent whatever a week there running around backwards as a referee in the over 75s five-a-sides football match with all the lads. And they were all there, all the crew. And we had great crack. And then I had to go to London for one line because all the interiors were shot in London. And my one line was something along the lines of was supposed to be like this. It was supposed to be like, I was, because Ted had these fake hands he was using.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to go up and go, hang on a second. Oh my, what are they? They look like fake hands. Are they fake hands at the end of your coat? Hang on, no way. Now you shouldn't, what is this? This is these. So it was something like this,
that's
right?
The script.
Something like that in the script, right? Which I still have, by the way, at home.
Do you?
Yeah. And so I came in and the director was like, okay, action. I only had one line, that line. And just Dermot's standing there and Ardell's beside him. I came out and went, hiya. Hi. And then he hears, cut. What are you doing, Jason? And there's a whole studio audience like going, I don't know. On I went again. Take two. They're fake. Cause, Jason, can you just say the line? So I went on. Fifth time, I come on and I go, wait a minute, are they fake hands? And he goes, cut, that'll do, don't care. Next. Don't have time. So that's it.
So you have the script that has the actual line that you never said.
I have it, yeah.
Did you frame it? I presume it's framed, is it?
No, it's actually in a box. It's all safe. Don't worry.
It's in a safe. Don't steal it.
Well, I know it's
you'll never find it.
I'm very like me dad. I just think all the stuff I keep is worth loads of money. All our dads
would be,
like that.
That sincerely would be, though.
I don't know. I mean, like,
my dad technically doesn't belong to you, but we'll brush past that.
Well, my dad, can I tell you real quickly, said that whenever he passed away, he had something for us all. And he brought us into the living room once, and there was 4 coins on the table. And he goes, there's one of them for each of us when I pass away. They were an Isle of Man pound coin in a case.
Okay. Is that a rare thing?
No, do you know how much they were worth? A pound. And he's just thought... There, that's the first issue. Like, Jesus Christ.
First edition.
Thanks, Dad. Like, stents and a pound.
Come here. What is the story about you and finding or rescuing a dog?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. I pulled up in Drumcondra. My partner Tracy lives in Drumcondra on Fitzroy Avenue there. And there was a dog. And he wasn't... you know those kind of cord leads? Was draped over a fence. I looked at him and I thought maybe someone went into a house. So I looked at him, he was like a staff thing, so I wasn't too sure. And then he was whimpering, kind of looking up and down. So I thought, so he knocked into the houses, nobody knew who he was. So someone had clipped him onto the fence and left him there. And I rang the dog warden and they said, can you just ring the nearest vet and bring him? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if he came from an abusive home or anything like that. So I was really frightened of whether he was going to go for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
So I let him do loads of sniffing in my hand, loads of stuff, rubbing him and all. He was great. He was a strong dog now. So yeah, 40 minutes, Oliver, with a strange dog. He literally walked me all the way up to the vet. People were crossing the road because they could see how strong he was. He was a gorgeous dog.
He was leading you.
Yeah. So got him up, brought him into the vet. Oh my God, and the vet, and botanic vets there. She was amazing. I don't know. It must be a vocation being a vet, like a nurse, a doctor, whatever. She just put her hand out and started talking to him. He just sat down real quiet. Like, it was amazing to see. And he just changed. But he was never going to bite me or anything. He never growled, nothing. He was a beautiful dog. And then... I got a call from Linda Martin. It was like a message. I was going, oh, so I don't know. I didn't know Linda Martin was working for the dog wardens. And
Linda's actually on the phone.
Oh,
Linda Martin, good morning.
Linda.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
The Linda, the hero of Dublin. Well done.
Oh, Linda, I don't know about that, but Jason should be called St. Francis of Assisi, patron saint of all animals.
Dr. Doolittle.
It was one of those peculiar things because I was told this guy is wrecking the net. You've got to get him to come up and do something with the dogs because his tour is huge at the moment. And I swear to God, as I was sending him a message, I got a message back from Jason. It was just one of those peculiar things. And the dog eventually ended up here with me in the dog hub. And he's still here. A beautiful, beautiful dog. Great temperament. Everything that Jason said he was during the last few minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm very anxious to get this lovely animal a home. He's gentle. Mm. He is big, all right, but he's gentle.
But can
he's
you see
very clean.
And can you see him on your Instagram page?
Oh, you can. Look on Instagram and Facebook with the Dublin Dog Hub and you'll see him. And no vices with this dog at all, because when Jason eventually did come up to do some photographs for us, just for a bit of publicity, we were able to pick him up, sit him up on a height and get the photographs of Jason and myself beside him, as opposed to us kneeling down.
Yeah, he was fine.
Now, a strange dog, if he lets you do that, there's just nothing going to happen. He's a lovely animal, and I would love a family to get hold of him. Or
and that's what you're looking for. That's what looking. And
the dog, he's real good-looking thing. He's amazing. He looks...
Yes.
What kind of a dog is it, Linda?
Well, he's a cross. There might be Labrador in there. There's certainly Staffy in there somewhere as well. Yeah. But he's literally just a big happy mongrel. And I'm looking at him as I'm talking to you. But we let him out. We walk him. We do everything with him. He's gentle. He's family orientated, I do believe. And like I say, most importantly, he's clean in his kennel. And for a lot of people, that sort of ticks all the boxes. That's when you can get that.
We're reading this morning that lots of dogs are abandoned this time of the year. February is the worst month, Linda.
Absolutely. It really is. It really is. You know, people get the Christmas presents, no matter what you say to them, they still get them. And then when the novelty wears off, the dogs are surrendered or strayed or whatever people are going to do with them. If they end up here, the dogs are lucky because we really pamper them. But Jason will tell you all that. Sure,
that was amazing to see.
Heated kennels and the whole lot.
You're so nice. Yeah. All the dogs are just there, but she has a place where they can come out and run around and stuff and play ball. It'd be great. It's Cody. Isn't that what we're going to call him?
That's his name, Kobe.
Kobe or Cody or Coda. He's had loads of names.
Whatever.
He's great fun. Yeah,
he really is. So please, if you, anybody, any of your listeners, if they have a space in front of their fire or a space somewhere, come up, have a look at him, and I bet you fall in love with him. Mm.
That's the Dublin Dog Hub, and it's run on behalf of Dublin City Council by Linda Martin. Linda, you were on the Late Late Eurovision Song show the other week, 2 weeks ago,
whenever it was. What do you make
of the winner? What are our chances this year?
I think it was the best song of all of them. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't rate our chances very highly now, I'm being honest with you, and it sounds terrible, but I just wouldn't, because I know what the opinions are coming in from Europe already, and there'd be strong contenders there, but I would wish her
what
very
opinions?
Well
Who's
now.
Saying this?
Oh, I get the phone calls now, and the messages. You
from
the
hip. You're getting messages from Europe.
I always get them.
She does. She has. I went in the dog home.
But I went into our song.
Well, I went in the dog home. Linda had a phone directed connected to Europe. It is. It's just a Europe phone, and it goes off, and she goes, "Hello," and Europe tell her stuff. Exactly, like it's amazing. And she, so of all people, Linda will know is going to win that. Eurovision.
Your opinion is interesting. Yeah.
Listen, you two, in future, address me as Lady President.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yes, you're running for president. Is that the case?
No, I'm saying nothing at all. That's all I'm saying.
Is that real? Are you really doing that?
Oh, you'll have to wait and see now.
Well, she is. That's such a lie.
Martin not ruling herself out of president.
Oh, that'd be Jason brilliant.
Can you imagine?
At least the dogs will have loads of room. Wow.
Can you imagine all the dogs in the Irish?
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, my God. You've got the dog thing going for you. You've got Eurovision and you've got cross-border. You've got everything going for you, Linda Martin.
Yeah. Absolutely.
As an independent with
she has a phone to Europe.
Sorry, Jason. Important story going on here.
No, no, no.
As an independent or with a party now, would you be considering?
Oh, a party, I think. Yes, a party.
Yeah. Which one?
Which party?
I can't say that. I can't tell you.
How are you going to get president?
This sounds like talks. Has someone approached you from a party?
I was approached. Sounds bizarre, but you're
You can ring people for that now, Linda.
What?
There's people you can ring if you get approached.
Can you imagine?
She's been approached by a party. She's not telling us which one it is.
I don't know how she's going to get elected if she doesn't tell anybody yet.
But you're seriously considering this?
Yeah.
Let's just say I'm mulling it over.
Well, didn't Dana try that?
She did.
Twice.
So. And she's a good friend of mine, so I'll get all the advice from her.
Yeah, lots of advice.
She'll get her to help.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Linda.
We'll vote for you.
Oh, thank
headline.
You both, Jason. Love you.
We're going to take a quick break. Jason Byrne is going to stay with us back after these.
Email.
Mention your gigs, Jason Byrne. I want to ask you about your friendship with Lin-Manuel Miranda, which is a real thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Hamilton. Yeah. Lin wrote Hamilton. But I know him from Melbourne and all and the Edinburgh Comedy Festival because he was in a band called Freestyle Love Supreme.
Okay.
Yo. So it was Lin and Anthony.
He was just touring, was he, at the same time as you?
When you're in the festival, you stay there for a month. You stay in the same room. So they were on just before me and I was on after. And it was Lin, Anthony, and then a guy called Shockwave did all the beatbox, and then another guy called Bill Sherman, who ended up being the musical director of Sesame Street. I mean, the four of them have just been amazing.
Right?
Yeah. So Lin went off and he did, he wrote Into the Heights. Mm-hmm. And I'd seen him after that. In Madrid, which is weird now. What, this is not like showbiz. I was just doing a small gig in Madrid with Adam Hills, right? And then Lin walked down the street. I was going, Lin, what are you doing here? He goes, and then he told me about Into the Heights. I was going, oh, wow, that sounds brilliant. He goes, yeah. He was really excited because it was going on Broadway. And then I didn't see him for ages. And then he came to see me in London. And I just did not see or heard about the connection because it was only all new, Hamilton coming to London and all. I didn't know it was... I heard Lin in the distance and all. It's going to can't be the same, my same little, you know...
Your friends with him
my little
the
Puerto
along.
Rican friend.
He doesn't mention, you know, I'm going to...
No, but like he's like so I would hear from him every now and again. Do you know what I mean? Bits and pieces. And then it was lost contact for about a year or two. And then in he comes to my gig in London. I said, oh my God, what are you doing here? And he goes, oh, I'm doing a show. And I went, oh, wow, brilliant, brilliant. I thought he was doing
And
a
you
gig.
Eventually caught up, went across the road and it's Hamilton.
He said, I'm doing Hamilton. I went, okay. So there we go.
Back after these.